The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Well, let's see if there's anything going on in the world today that we can use to fill a little three-hour radio show. Coming to you from our remote Carter Subaru studio, welcome! Welcome to The Big Show, and man, it is an unbelievably busy news afternoon. Once again, we got you covered both locally and nationally on all fronts. So the breaking news is the police officer who had his knee on the neck of George Floyd has now been charged just in the last hour with third-degree murder and manslaughter. And as the prosecutor back in Minneapolis said, this was a record time for charges to be filed. The incident happened Monday night, and on Friday morning, maybe early afternoon, Minneapolis time, they had charges filed against the police officer. Now, they haven't gone into the details yet, but that would suggest that they got an expedited autopsy on Floyd, and that they did find that what the officer did contributed mightily to his death, something that every one of us expected. And certainly there's been just absolute universal condemnation of that cop from the police community. Good cops across the country knew that that was unacceptable, unallowable. Technique isn't even the word to use. That was torture. You got a guy in cuffs on his belly on asphalt or concrete, and you just keep your knee on his neck instead of just picking him up, putting him in the back of the police car, and for eight minutes. And so now that cop, a 19-year veteran, has been charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. And he could be facing a big chunk of the rest of his life in prison after the death of George Floyd. So that is the breaking news that we have. And there are a lot of extensions of that that are affecting us here in the Puget Sound area and, of course, across the country. Let's get right to our big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
Tomorrow in Seattle, there are protests planned over the George Floyd death. And I've been looking at these protests in other cities around the country. In Denver today, there was a George Floyd protest. Again, as disconnected from Minneapolis as is Seattle. And there were people in the streets. A woman is driving down the street in her SUV, and one of the protesters in a mask jumps on the hood of her car, and it's mostly she's honking. She accelerates. She knocks the guy off the hood of her car by accelerating, but then the woman turns more than 90 degrees, and she angles back to hit the guy again with her side view mirror before speeding off down the streets. And the mob in the streets in Denver starts chasing her car down the street, but she guns it to get away. But a guy jumped on a woman's hood. She, at that point, I'm sure is fearful for her life. I think accelerating to knock the guy off the car is certainly within her rights. Swinging around to then clip him again with the side view mirror probably will get her in trouble. But the question that I'm asking of Jenny Durkin and Carmen Best, at a time where you're telling all of us we cannot congregate, we cannot gather, our high school seniors cannot have an outdoor graduation ceremony. You've said that, Jay Inslee, you have said that you can take away constitutional rights. The First Amendment that allows us the freedom of religion. And you said, no, you cannot gather in a church. It's for public health. And there are other constitutional protections that we can gather to demonstrate. Nope. No crowds allowed, public health. under the guise of public health crisis, Jay Inslee has said that his public health order overrides the U.S. Constitution. So can somebody explain to me? And I know why, but I would like to know from the public officials. The reason why is because they are terrified of doing anything that would not be perceived politically correct. But given the violence that's erupted, Minneapolis has burned down. Denver, guys are jumping on the hoods of cars and getting clipped by terrified women who are just trying to get to their destination. At a time when you've told all of us that we can't gather, our high school kids cannot have an outdoor graduation ceremony. But we're going to allow protests in downtown Seattle tomorrow afternoon over George Floyd's death. And again, his death is an outrage. And the cop with record rapidity is being charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. There's not a whole lot more. And I know they're saying, well, the other three cops who are standing by should also be charged. They likely will. Because as public safety officers, that's their job, it's their responsibility, it's their duty, their sworn duty. But why can we not have a high school senior class graduate outdoors, but you are going to allow a protest that in other cities this week has led to violence? Minneapolis certainly being, by a factor of a million, the greatest violence. But after seeing what was going on in Denver earlier today and knowing our history of how demonstrations in downtown Seattle have often led to violence, why is this the one thing that's going to be allowed when the rest of us are locked down, our kids can't graduate together, but we're going to have protests in downtown Seattle tomorrow? And the protests are understandable. Righteous rage in Minneapolis over what happened to George Floyd is understandable. But the last three nights is not understandable. It is completely disconnected from what happened to George Floyd. I mean, looting a Target store and walking out with a television is not somehow justice for what that cop did to George Floyd. The cop who's an accused murderer now. Walking out of Target with a TV doesn't get justice. Burning down black-owned businesses throughout the neighborhood there in Minneapolis does not get justice. The police precinct burns to the ground. And the police are told to stand down because it's too dangerous, which is an unbelievable lack of leadership. It's the cop's job to protect and serve. But they are so afraid now, they're paralyzed, that cops can't even defend the arson of their police precinct. An AutoZone store burns to the ground. And the firefighters come and start getting attacked by the rioters. Those weren't protesters at that point. They were just simply rioters exploiting a situation. And that in no way minimizes what we should all feel about this cop killing George Floyd. But it's completely disconnected. And I, for the life of me, I have no idea why high school kids can't congregate for a graduation ceremony, but Jenny Durkin and Carmen Best are apparently going to allow multiple downtown Seattle demonstrations and protests tomorrow about George Floyd. I think that's a recipe for disaster for our city, especially because we have civic leadership here that is as weak as they have in Minneapolis. And that mayor of Minneapolis, what a wimpy little man he is. My goodness. So Donald Trump went on Twitter this morning. I know it's unusual. He doesn't usually like to tweet. But the president tweeted this morning, "I can't stand back and watch this happen to a great American city, Minneapolis. A total lack of leadership. Either the very weak radical left mayor, Jacob Frey, get his act together and bring the city under control, or I will send in the National Guard and get the job done right. These thugs," the president writes, "these thugs are dishonoring the memory of George Floyd, and I won't let that happen. Just spoke to Governor Tim Walz and told him that the military is with him all the way. Any difficulty, and we will assume control. But when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Thank you." So Mayor Frey, and this is a whole tangential topic, but he is such a stereotypical, wimpy, woke leftist. If you want to be, just to be frank, if you want to be a white male in politics in any liberal city, you have to be, you know, you have to be very wimpy and woke. And this guy, he tried to sound tough. They read Trump's tweets to him when he had a press conference this morning. This is Mayor Frey of Minneapolis.
Well, let me say this. Weakness is refusing to take responsibility for your own actions. Weakness is pointing your finger at somebody else during a time of crisis. Donald Trump knows nothing about the strength of Minneapolis. We are strong as hell. Is this a difficult time period? Yes, but you better be damn sure that we're going to get through this.
When he hit the podium to show that he's such a tough man. But this is civic leadership. Him, the police leaders, police chief, they let a precinct building burn to the ground because they said, oh, it's too dangerous. No, the cops are sworn to protect and serve and defend. And I'm guessing the cops didn't want to stand down. But when you have a bunch of wimpy, weak people in leadership, they say, oh, no, it might escalate things. And we'd best let them burn down the city. Let's just let them burn it down. Those aren't protesters over George Floyd. Those are rioters. This had nothing to do with George Floyd when you're committing arson. And you're looting. But now we get into an area where I've spoken honestly my whole career. Look, we have this homogenization of men and women in our country. And my life experience suggests that we serve incredibly different roles. And this, you know, is in our DNA. You know, men are warriors, women are nurturers. And, this goes back thousands and thousands of years. But we've been in this desperate push for, decades now to, masculinize women and feminize men. And when you lose any sense of what it really takes in a warrior situation. I mean, again, this had nothing to do with George Floyd. When arsonists are burning down buildings, when looters are taking everything, including things, I mean, people with hammers smashing cash registers because everything had been taken off the shelves in the absolutely destroyed Target store, and on and on. We have a new culture of politicians who are not equipped to deal with any of this stuff. They just simply aren't. And the absolute most tragic story, there's he looks like he's probably in his mid-30s, a black man, a firefighter in Minneapolis. And his name is Corbel Bala. He's been a firefighter for many years, and he was, like most of us, a young person with a dream. He'd been saving his money. His wife, their little son, just tucking it away. He wanted to open a sports bar. And he was achieving his American dream. Firefighter by day, and then go and operate a sports bar in the evenings and living the American dream. And I saw a video from a few months ago. His son, who is just adorable, about 4 or 5 years old, and as they're painting the walls, and you know, before the professional painter got to a wall, he gives his son a bucket of paint and a brush and says, "There, son, do you want to paint this wall?" And the kid is so excited, so adorable.
Doing a good job. This guy is painting with his gloves on. Dude, you gotta watch the floor. Take your time, okay?
Dad being a dad to a young son. Then he opens his bar and COVID-19 hits and the government shuts it down. And now he just found out that they moved to a phase there in Minneapolis where he could reopen his bar. And what happened to this man with the dream?
Well, in terms of the business owners in this area, they're devastated. Some of them. We talked to a man yesterday who put his life savings into a sports bar that was about to open up. And, you know, he canceled his insurance a few weeks ago with the pandemic because obviously no business. So he was trying to save money. And now his business has been destroyed.
Yeah, ransacked. Everything. The windows broken, the rioters came in, took everything this guy had in his sports bar, and this morning he sat amidst the rubble, sobbing, and then, while he's crying on camera...
Today we found Corboy Bala, who invested his life savings into opening this sports bar, cleaning up. While our camera was there, looters came back to try to steal his safe.
Right, trying to...
So right there, while they are on camera with this man, looters come in and with pry bars and sledgehammers, and they're trying to take the safe while the man is sitting
steal
there.
The safe.
I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to work so hard to get you. So hard.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I worked so hard to get here. So hard. The American dream just vaporizing. Like that. That's because of weak leadership. That's because we don't allow the cops to do their jobs when rioters take over a city. And again, hey, if you're going to allow protests in downtown Seattle tomorrow, Jay Inslee, Jenny Durkin, Carmen Best, let our high school seniors have an outdoor graduation ceremony. Stop playing this politically correct game where we don't dare say no to protesters, but we'll keep the kids locked down. Makes no sense. Okay, that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
And I'm going to continue with this into the next segment because the other thing that is so disgusting about all of this is how politicians and the media actually want cities to burn. They stoke the flames. We'll continue with our special coverage here on the Dory Monson Show. Let's continue with our breaking news coverage. Yes, the police officer who killed George Floyd has now been charged with third-degree murder. Here's the city attorney in Minneapolis, Mike Freeman, announcing that murder charge.
I'm here to announce that former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin is in custody. Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin has been charged by the Hennepin County Attorney's Office with murder and with manslaughter. He has been charged with third-degree murder. We are in the process of continuing to review the evidence. There may be subsequent charges later.
And the big question is, the three cops who were fired, who stood by and did nothing while their colleague killed this man, they may face charges as well because it is their job. If you see a colleague doing wrong, That's where you got to go over and you got to say, hey, hey, I got it. I got it. And they, you know, put your hand on his shoulder, say, enough, done. Let me take over here. And then you lift George Floyd off the ground and you set him in the back seat of a police car. So those other cops very likely will face charges as well for standing by and doing nothing. I got an email from a guy I know, former King County Sheriff's deputy, who made a really interesting point. He said, these types of really bad police action, and, you know, let me preface before I read you his email. You know, I've mentioned many times, I have friends who are cops. I think most cops are, you know, 99 point whatever percent are on the job for the right reason. And there are some bad cops. And this guy in Minneapolis looked like a horrid cop. This is really sweet, actually. My wife just showed this to me yesterday. She was going through some of our daughter's old, you know, we've got huge Tupperware bins of schoolwork and photos and all of that. And we were doing a car wash for my basketball team about 20 years ago. And one of the cops in our little town here came by to get his car washed. And we had a picture of him with all of the girls on the team. And he's still a cop, still in the neighborhood, still a friend. And my wife, instead of sending the picture to the cop, she sent it to the police chief and said, first of all, how have our daughters all aged 20 years, but your cop hasn't aged 1 second in 20 years. But we just said, we so appreciate, you know, the community and our police. And the chief wrote the most beautiful note to my wife, and she just showed it to me last night. And they put the picture and my wife's note on the bulletin board at the police department, and they got a good laugh over, you know, seeing their colleague 20 years ago. And it was just all very, very sweet. And that's what I think police represent for, you know, the vast majority of officers. But there are some bad ones, and it might be getting a little bit worse. Okay, now let me get back to the email that this former King County Sheriff's deputy wrote to me yesterday. These type of really bad police actions will continue happening because all government agencies are hiring people who are not fit to enforce the law. When I was hired, and he was hired in 1980s. He said, when I was hired, I worked with mostly ex-military types, intelligent, task-oriented. You're not getting these people as new recruits because of your political leadership. You only get those who will kneel on the neck of a suspect for 5 minutes, ignore his pleas, and kill him. You'll see more like this type of police behavior because nobody of quality in his right mind would ever want to work a job like this. Okay, I disagree with the former officer who wrote me because I think that there's still a lot of really good men and women who are going into police work. But I absolutely agree with him that when you live in an area like here, I mean, in our little suburb, the cops and the people have a fantastic relationship and they have support from the politicians and it works. Who in their right mind would want to be a cop in Seattle when you have city council members who call you murderers after you've been exonerated? When you have political leadership that has contempt for police? When you have two socialists on the city council? And in their party's platform, they have stated they want a complete destruction of society and existing police forces so they can then rebuild in their Marxist image a new police department where criminals walk the streets and are never arrested, never put in jail, and everything is somebody else's fault. It's never the criminal's fault. And we got Tammy Morales and Shama Sawat. That's their party. that embraces that. So, yeah, who in their right mind would want to be a cop in Seattle when you have repulsive people on the city council who clearly hate the police? And then those same people say, oh, we can't find any good cops. You wonder why. There are places where political leadership and police leadership have tremendous support, and community has tremendous support for police. And it works. But when you have radical politicians who are talking about how much they despise the police, and then they lament, oh, we can't get any good young cops to come aboard. Of course not. Who wants to go work for somebody who despises them? And so you know, I agree with the King County deputy that it's getting tougher and tougher. If you are a smart, task-oriented, perhaps ex-military, and you ordinarily might have gone into police work, there's probably a lot of things you can do that are more rewarding, and not just financially, but psychically, where you actually are valued by your employer instead of have contempt. And Minneapolis is the same way. That wimpy little man of a mayor that they have, I don't know that I've ever seen somebody who is, you know, more out of central casting. And you can just tell the politics of that city has nothing but contempt for the cops. And then they say, we can't find enough good young people to be cops. Why is that? Look in the mirror. That's why it is. Okay, quick time out. We'll talk about the media's role in all of this. And also, I haven't even gotten to Jay Inslee's press conference from yesterday. A couple things there that we got to dive into. All of that straight ahead on the Dory Monson Show. The other thing that has been just infuriating to watch in the wake of this killing of George Floyd, and we should never lose sight what's at the heart of this story. And, you know, I reached out to my cop friends, and there's universal condemnation within the police community at what that cop did. And I don't think anybody's surprised by the third-degree murder charge that's been filed against that cop. But and so protests are certainly understandable, and being outraged by what happened to George Floyd is understandable. But the protests quickly, and I'm not going to say devolved, because the people who were out there to protest, they were probably still out there protesting. But then opportunists came in to riot, to steal TVs from Target, to burn down. And you know, you looked at the TV video of all of these business owners, and they would put signs in their window that said black-owned business, just hoping that their livelihood wouldn't be taken away from them. And, of course, with that firefighter and his sports bar. And by the way, one of the people on text, I saw before the show, there was a GoFundMe, and when I looked this morning, it was at about 37,000. Their goal was 100,000 for the sports bar owner. It's up over $200,000 now. So people have, around the country, have responded with kindness and beauty towards that man who, you know, was seeing everything financially taken away from him. But he still has his wife, his beautiful little boy, and a country has reached out in the only way that, you know, people could in the moment, and that's by donating to the GoFundMe. So that's cool. But the networks, a couple of networks, MSNBC, CNN, they kept calling the rioters protesters. And you're not protesting if you're walking out of Target with a flat screen. You're just an opportunist criminal. And on MSNBC, this was amazing. This was last night. It's one of their main news anchors. I recognize him. I don't know his name. But he's standing in front of a building that is engulfed in 40-foot flames. And listen to this little bit of instant revisionism by this guy.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not generally speaking, unruly, but fires have been started.
It's not unruly. There's 40-foot flames behind him. So why? Why would CNN, MSNBC want to call criminal rioters protesters? That disrespects the good-hearted people who wanted to express their constitutional right to voice their disgust at what that cop did to George Floyd. Those are good people out in the streets protesting. Criminal rioters are not good people. They're criminals. And that's what, took over too big a percentage of what happened the last couple of nights there in Minneapolis. So it's at a time when things couldn't feel more crazy. And how impossible does it seem that coronavirus could get knocked this hard off the lead everywhere? But this is a story that has polarized this country once again. We'll keep covering it throughout the afternoon. Also, how much time I got, Andrew, here?
About 30 seconds.
Got here. Okay, I'm going to save this for Big League or Fastest 15 or whatever it is we're doing next. I haven't even broken down Jay Inslee's ridiculous press conference from yesterday. And also, for the third day in a row, Jay Inslee has another 2:30 presser this afternoon. Yesterday's was so boring, I had to dump out of most of it. But another one coming up today. But we'll tell you what the Gov had to say and lots more. Fastest 15 is coming up next.